morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Movement Radio. I am Chip Hazard.
I'm Talon Williams.
And I'm Roger Sierra.
And we are joined by a man that probably doesn't need any introduction, a man of many voices, the gentleman Kevin Thelwell. Kevin, how are you today?
Hi there. I'm doing great. It's a pretty chill day today. So yeah, having a good time.
Awesome,
bull. We appreciate you being with us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Really like the studio setup there.
Yeah, I do.
Thanks. Yeah. I do my at-home recording and auditions. It's nice and cozy and, you know, drowns out all any outside noise.
Definitely need to work on getting my studio like that.
Right.
Oh, this need to work on getting a studio. Extra.
So we kind of like to start these conversations off just with a simple question. For those who don't know, who is Kevin Thelwell?
Well, I am a voice actor. I work primarily here in Texas. I do a lot of ADR, so dubbing. I act in a lot of shows. I assistant direct in shows. I play lots of characters, like I play Zeus, who was one of the newer characters in the later One Piece arcs. I'm in Haikyuu, I play a character called Shinsuke Kita. I'm in other shows like Blue Lock, I play Julian Logie. And I'm in all over. I've done the things I've been like the lead character of. I'm the lead character in the shows Girlfriend, Girlfriend, Beast Tamer, The Iceblade Sorcerer Shall Rule the World, and Am I Actually the Strongest? Those four shows, mouthful ones.
Awesome. All right, so Chip asked the question, who is Kevin Thelwell? I'm going to ask you, who were you before you discovered this this crazy world of voice acting and different things of that nature? Where are you originally from?
So I grew up in Miami, Florida. So that's where I did all my schooling. I was born in Brooklyn, but grew up for the most part in Miami.
Okay,
and
cool.
Yeah, before I started like acting, like basically right at what, 17, 18, when I was in college, and I was a music major, like for basically from middle school all the way up into college, just doing nothing but brass instruments, trumpet, trombone, all the like. And one day in college, I snapped and I'm like, you know what? Kind of don't want to do this for a living. This is fun to play it, but it is not fun to do it professionally.
Definitely can understand that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we have a fellow New Yorker. Roger is also from New York.
Hey.
Yep. We're in the Bronx, though. So, you know, not the same place, but you know.
You're rad.
Yeah, you know.
he gonna get somebody come and slide on you later is what's gonna happen.
I respect Brooklyn. It's Queens I don't like.
There you go.
Uh-oh.
can't support the Mets, you know, can't support them.
Right.
That's understandable. Right. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Nope, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, you said, you know, at 17, 18, you decided to get into acting. You were doing a little bit of music and decided that wasn't for you. So what was the first thing that you acted in coming out of that thought process?
Well, it didn't fully click that acting was an option because, like, growing up, I still am a pretty shy introvert in the likes, and me being on the stage in front of people was just not something that vibed in my head. And like, I never considered it. People are like, oh, you know, you're so dramatic sometimes, you'd be good in drama. And I'm like, no, we can't do that. Nuh-uh. So I, in my free time, like in high school, like early college, would just have fun, like making little videos, YouTube videos with friends, uploading them onto little channels and whatnot. And I had fun, like just doing funny little voices on that. And at the same time, my first job was a call center, so I would just be talking to people all day, and people would always compliment you, hey, your voice is really nice, maybe you should look into acting, something like that. And I'm like, yeah, you're just saying that, blah, blah, blah. And one day, this other YouTuber that I watched a lot of their content on, they ended up they wrote a book years back that their book ended up coming back and was getting animated into like a little YouTube cartoon or project. And they're like, hey, you know what? To give back to the community, we'll just go ahead and have like open auditions for the show. So that way, you know, we can see who we can bring on, make it like a whole group thing. And I did an audition for that just on a whim with my little mic setup that I had on there. And I ended up getting a contract for that one, which that project didn't end up seeing the light of day, you know. But when that ended up getting cast, like they ended up casting a lot of people who were really big actors in like the video game and the anime sphere. So it kind of hit me. I'm like, wow, you know, I got a contract for this too, alongside people who are like actually professional actors. Maybe I should look into this stuff. So then I started, you know, doing my research, finding forums, taking classes, you know, doing what I could to kind of start taking my foot into voice acting when I realized that, hey, maybe I could actually do that.
Awesome.
So you've done a lot of different voices for a lot of different anime. Was you also a fan of anime growing up?
Oh yeah. I'm a like when I was deciding to move out of Florida to do like my acting, I had a choice. I'm like, hey, where am I gonna go? Am I gonna go, you know, stay in Florida and try to make the most out of the voiceover field there? Go to New York, but go back to New York to, you know, do commercial work up there. Go to LA and try my hands at, you know, video game Hollywood stuff, or come to Texas where the primary stuff here was anime. So I made the very conscious decision to jump over here to anime and see how that works. One, because I really like anime, love it. Two, it's way cheaper in Texas, you know, versus New York and LA. So I don't know, that was
No state taxes,
interesting.
right?
Facts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So what were some of your favorite animes growing up before you got into the business?
Before I got in the business, there's a lot of really good ones. I really love like Hunter x Hunter, the Digimons, first 5 seasons anyway. There's a lot. I really loved like not anime per se, but there's a lot of dubbing involved in like the Power Rangers and the Super Sentai and whatnot. So that's also one that's super influential on that as well. So just all sorts of shows that I like jumping around on.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, man. A man over here hitting all my spots. Power Rangers and Digimon.
I know.
Classics.
Yeah.
For sure.
Roger and I are probably in the minority of people who think Digimon is better than Pokemon.
Pokemon.
It's hard. Personally, you know, I think that, you know, Pokemon's done better in terms of like making a brand and being more recognizable. But I think Digimon makes better characters. But Pokemon, you know, they did retire Ash. They put Ash in the grave. So maybe the new shows, you know, is gonna ramp things up. I love both Digimon and Pokemon, so I can call out things I dislike about both series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
No,
most definitely.
I mean, we're still fans of Pokemon. I like a lot of the spin-off series from Pokemon as well. I think it's just Ash I probably didn't like as much.
I liked Ash for the first decade.
Yeah, for the first decade, but when he never aged 1 year, it kind of got a little
Yeah.
old.
Like this man can never win. He's the vampire eternal, never gonna do anything. Forever stagnant.
Crazy.
And he finally did it, so I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
That's why I retired.
Yep. Oh
Oh.
man.
So you said you were doing, you know, music and everything like that. Like what style of music were you doing beforehand? Like jazz or what were you
Yes.
doing? Jazz?
Yeah, jazz and classical, of course, as mandates, you know, general high school, college critiques. But I'd say I probably, yeah, definitely enjoyed band the most. Sorry, jazz bands the most, because that was like a time where we could convince our band director to play non, you know, super not conventional songs and stuff. Like we convinced him to let us play the theme of Cowboy Bebop, Tank, and some of our concerts and stuff like that. And it was just a really good time.
I'd love to hear, dude. I'd love to hear that, dude. I'd love to hear
Yeah.
that. That sounds awesome. Do you still dabble in instruments a little bit? Do you still kind of like go back, maybe like, I want to play a trombone today, just because I can. You know, like, do you ever go back to that? Like, I'm gonna play something today.
Yeah, my trombone's still in Florida, but I did take my trumpet with me. So sometimes when I'm just feeling in a mood or whatnot, I might walk into this booth and, you know, play my trumpet a little bit, you know, play the horn as loud as I can. You know, just it helps, I don't know, ease the mind.
Right.
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, growing up, you did music and everything like that, and you got into acting. Did you do any sports as well?
So my high school was weird in that it wasn't always a high school. It was at first a vocational school that added on high school later on. So they just didn't have any sports teams, period, at my high school. That just wasn't a thing that we did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
it was a weird situation.
I
I
mean,
mean,
it works.
yeah.
Yeah, it works. Are you a sports fan by any chance?
I'm not super big into sports. Like, thing is, I really like running and football and all that. I'm just not super enthralled always with watching other people do the thing that I'm like, I'd rather be on the field doing it myself at that point.
Yeah,
That makes
That's
sense.
kind of me.
Yeah. So when was it that you realized that the acting thing was really going to be what you were going to do? I know you said you kind of dabbled in the YouTube thing and you were like, eh, you know, but you got the contract and that. So was it getting the contract or what?
Getting the contract was the first thing that said, hey, maybe I should actually look into this for real. So then I found other forums, found other projects, joined little like fan dubs or like indie games or you know bridges all for the couple years. And what made it click, ironically enough, was probably like one of the hardest things I've had to do like acting wise was I did like an audiobook, which was like 8 hours of just me talking. And I was working full time at the time, so I would work a whole shift, you know, do my 40 hours a week, and every day come back and spend like 4+ hours under a comforter in my room talking into yeah into the into a whole book, and it was a fun time. It was a very interesting book because I had to take like also extra steps to like kind of localize the book because it was like a book made for American audiences, but the writer is very much in Europe, and the writing shows that they live in Europe. So I'll be like, all right. So he grabs a, the heck is a tinny? And then I had to Google that, and I had to message the guy. I'm like, hey, like, what, do you want me to say that? And you're like, no, just change the words to make it more American. I'm like, okay. And so I burned out really hard working my butt off on that one for really not enough pay. But at the end of the day, like, doing that was something that I did, and also there's like another project that I did where I worked like 8 hours straight one day just doing one singular project, and when I finished it I was dead tired, but then I'm like, I could do this 5 days a week. Yeah, I could do this 5 days a week. I was dead, but I'm like, I enjoyed, you know, what I did, even if it was for 8 hours. So yeah,
Absolutely.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, if you don't enjoy it, there's no point in doing it. I think. I mean, money's good, but you gotta enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
When it comes to anime, so you did the YouTube thing, you did the audiobook, and now we're coming into dubbing for anime. What was one of the first projects that you worked on? For like an actual anime studio, whether it be Funimation, Crunchyroll, Sentai, or whatnot.
Yeah, so the very first dub that I ever touched for like one of the official companies like that was for Funimation, and that was my first session was for a season 2 of Ace Attorney's anime. So I got to do extras all in that. I was really psyched because that first session I did, I got to do was like there was like some extras in the episode where they had like a character's watching TV and they had like some random Super Sentais on the TV, and I got to be some of the Sentais, and I'm like, oh, this is the best day ever! Yes! It's my first session. So it was a really good time. So yeah, that was my first step into anime.
That's awesome. And
That's
where do
awesome.
you yeah where do you go from there? So season two of Ace Attorney, just some extras in the background. Where does the progression begin?
So for anime, you know, kind of at the mercy of whether or not the directors or talent coordinators, you know, summon me. So when I first started off, I actually like there are people who have been around longer than me that have like differing stories. So I've been told that I was actually starting more frequently than they did. But like I was getting like one recording session a month or every other month, at depending on it. But I was averaging about once a month going in to the studio for a while, and that was like for about a year. Yeah, about a little over a year it was like that. And then the 2020 hit, pandemic struck, and everything shut down for a while. So I wasn't getting any work for, extra, just no one's just going to the studio. And then I saw on Twitter that hey, Funimation started doing remote recording from home, so that way they can still push out My Hero Academia and stuff like that. And at the time, I was living with three different actors in the house. There was four of us in the house, were all actors who all worked for Funimation. And one of us, coincidentally, a few months before the pandemic hit, one of our roommates actually built a makeshift recording booth out of wood in the house. And it just so happened that that booth could fit four people because he just liked having extra space to himself in there. And it fit four people. So we sent an email to Funimation and was like, hey, we saw you guys are recording people from home. Just saying, since you obviously can't bring in people to do your extra and your group recording work for health reasons, we have four roommates who already live together. So it's safe for us to be in a booth together since we're living together anyway. And we have a booth at home. We could help you guys record the stuff for your extras. And we got like a response like almost immediately, like 30 minutes later, from Talent Coordinator was like, you have a what? And they were CCing the producers, the bosses, all of that for Funimation and Sony. They're like, send us your audio sample now. And then we did that stuff and showed them our mic and whatnot. And after that, we were working. We were like the only people doing extras on Funimation slash Crunchyroll stuff for like a year or two straight. We were just doing 90% of the work. So there's a time where like if you watch almost any episode of any show, you probably hear my voice in the background screaming or doing something.
Yeah, I was fixing to bring that up because I had your IMDb up just quick. You did Girlfriend, Girlfriend, Blue Lock, Spy Family, One Piece, Attack on Titan, My Hero Academia, Fire Force, Black Clover, Fairy Tail, Ace Attorney, The Prince of Tennis. How do you keep all these voices separate in your head? Like, how do you make sure, like, okay, I don't want this voice to sound like this voice, and I don't want this voice to sound this way. Like, how do you, I guess, keep the voices contained, I guess.
Well, thankfully, since they're all separate properties, it's not really an issue if like Naoya and Girlfriend Girlfriend might sound a little bit like Rain and Beast Tamer because they're separate continuities. They're not gonna talk to each other. That has happened before, a couple times before. We've had to play characters that did talk to each other, and that was a little difficult to get that to work, but we made it work. But generally, we're not really worrying about like them sounding similar to other characters unless it's within the same property. It's versus am I keeping on voice to like what I've done in previous episodes or like what the Japanese is doing, if we were to trying to match what they're doing specifically on that, or doing our own take on the voice. So, and usually directors, when we're coming in for characters, if we're not super locked in, like really familiar with our character already, the director will be like, all right, hey, this is our second episode doing this character. Hey, I'll just play you a voice reference from your last episode just to make sure we're still doing the same exact voice as previously.
That's
Okay.
awesome. Awesome.
Great.
So you mentioned just a second ago about like you had to show Funimation or tell Funimation what kind of mic you were using or whatnot. What kind of mic is it that you do use?
Well, this one that I'm talking to you on right now is a Neumann TLM-103. Don't look up the price tag, 'cause I definitely didn't pay that much for this. But this is that's what I use, which is this is the standard microphone that they do use at Crunchyroll right now.
Okay.
So every booth in
Cool.
there uses that microphone. But back then, when we were just like starting remote recording, they weren't even letting people use their own microphones. They were using specific company provided little USB microphones and an iPad that we would connect to the iPad to connect, so to make sure everyone had a more uniform sound. And then later on, they transitioned to let people use their mics like a year or so later.
Okay.
Okay. I just wondering because I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to mics. So I'm currently using the Elgato Wave. But I just recently purchased a Rode NT-USB, and I'm always doing research on microphones for whatever reason.
Yeah, I use the Wave too on my computer in my room, on my personal computer. I use the Wave on that setup. I really enjoy the Wave. It's really cool and compact.
Yes.
I'm
Yes.
back to
Get me
using
in.
like the Elgato Wave microphone for my Neumann because
Yeah.
my setup in here is weird. I got like dual monitors that are kind of low, and a regular mic arm goes up too high, so I have to have the low profile one come under and up instead of up and over.
I actually have the Elgato Low Pro arm on my desk here because I also have a dual monitor set up. So
I'm stuck using a blue snowball with this boom arm I bought from like Walmart or something. So I'm trying, you know.
upgrades and
One
daily
day,
upgrades.
one day I'll get on everybody else's level one day.
I was on a blue snowball too. It did its job for a very long time.
It's been good for me for the past 2 years, so I'm happy
Yeah,
with it.
exactly.
So you said you had your own personal computer with a setup. Do you stream or anything like that?
I streamed a little bit on Twitch. I was a little busy with the day job, but now I have way more free time to where I'm doing a trip to Japan at the end in like a, what, a 2 weeks or so. So when I come
I'm so
back from
jealous.
Japan,
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm treating myself, man. I spent 5.5 years doing double duty, acting, directing, production work, and a day job. And now I'm like, all right, I'm done with the day job. I'm just going to only do creative work from now on, see how I survive. But first, I got to take a break. Let me take at least a week off, go to Japan, and just enjoy myself a little bit.
Enjoy, yep.
Yes.
Yes.
Whereabouts in Japan? Tokyo, Osaka?
Yeah, we're going to go to Osaka and Tokyo.
Oh, okay, cool.
Ooh,
Awesome.
yes.
Yeah.
That's
Have a
awesome. That's
good
awesome.
time, man.
So
Do you? Oh, go
go ahead, Raj. I
ahead.
was gonna say
Nope,
you mentioned that you do some directing and producing as well. What are some projects that you've personally directed?
So I'm an assistant director, so I basically help out at nights because normal directors work like during the day hours, and assistant directors just help with when there's too many recording hours to handle during the day, or if somebody's schedule can't accommodate them coming in during the day, so I come in at night, or if somebody calls out sick or just takes a day off, somebody's got to be in that chair 5 days a week anyway, so I'd be covering. So I've done assistant directing on shows like Gundam, The Witch of Mercury. Let me see here. My Tiny Senpai, the 100 girlfriends who really, really,
You
really, really,
really,
really love you.
really.
So a whole lot of things. My Clueless First Friend. I did a little bit of directing recently on like the last episode of Frieren, which is a
Oh,
really,
nice.
really good show. Love that one a lot.
Makes me cry
Yes.
so much.
It's so, yeah, it's such
Love
a
it. Oh
good
my
show.
gosh.
I'm unfamiliar with it. I'm
It's
unfamiliar with that particular
the
one.
greatest anime of this generation.
It's
Okay. I'll
kind of
look
like
it's
that. Yeah.
I'll look I'll
Yeah.
look it up. I'll look it
So
up.
basically, it's about the heroes of the dungeon finally kill the Demon King or whatever. So what's next? And that's what the anime is about. What's next?
One giant
Oh, okay.
prologue.
Yep.
I got you. I got you.
But
Yeah,
it gets
that's
and it
one.
feels so. Oh my gosh.
It
Oh my
really
God.
does.
I'm gonna have to look that. What's it called again? You said
Frieren
Frieren.
Beyond
I'll
Rin Gin.
send it
Yeah,
to you. Send me the link. Send me the
I'll
link, and then I'll
send
find it
it
on the website you sent me. Anyway.
to you.
Yep. Yeah. So yeah, I've been around directing for the last what 2 years or so at
No, that's
Crunchyroll
awesome.
helping out.
I mean, that's
That's
good that
awesome.
they're letting you do other stuff too. I mean, job security, man.
Yeah, I'm a freelancer, so I can't guarantee I get a bunch of acting hours every season. So I always gotta, find other ways to make money, other studios to work with, other, things to do. So yeah.
It's interesting you say that. We just had a conversation with John Swayze last week, and he said basically the same thing. When he first started out, he wasn't getting a whole lot of voice work, so he started to learn how to do the directing and producing part so he could earn more hours.
Exactly.
Is
Yeah.
it a little bit more pressure on you as a director in a weird sense? It's like, okay, it has to go a certain way. You got to be a little bit more meticulous about certain things and stuff. Because as a voice actor, you come in, you do the voice acting. It's like, hey, that's good. Cool. All right. We need it again. All right. Cool. And you do that. But then as a director, does it put more pressure on you to make sure everything goes the way it's supposed to?
I'd say there's a little bit of pressure. I feel like ADs have a slight bit more pressure than the regular lead director, just because you're thinking, all right, does this sound good? But then at the same time, you're thinking, all right, Does this sound good to the boss directors? You know, are
Right,
they going to have
right.
to come back and, you know, redo something? You know, so you want to make sure, okay, I'm hoping I'm doing this in a way that I think is good, but now I got to put my brain in their shoes and think, all right, how would they want it? So that does kind of add a little bit of, I'm trying to puppet master the actor, do what I want, but now I got to pretend to be the director puppet mastering me to puppet master the actor.
It's almost like you got to take his brain, put it in your head, and be like, okay, this is what we need to do, pretty
Yeah,
much.
exactly. So there's just a little bit of pressure on the AD's part, just making sure that you are doing, you know, good by the original director, especially if you're covering last minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in situations like that, do you even get a chance to like coordinate with the director and find out like what they're going for, or how does that work out?
Sometimes the director will like send you notes, like they might email or text you saying, hey, this is the actor we're working with. This is the kind of stuff that we want. This is the character they're playing, you know, blah, blah, blah. They'll just be like, hey, this character has been doing this actor been doing this character for 20 episodes already. They don't need any direction. They know what to do. They got this. They're a professional. I'm like, bet, let's go. You know, so it just depends. It's a case by case scenario with directors wanting certain things or certain notes or, you know, actors you have. So there's a lot of moving parts. So some days it's easy as pie. Some days it's like, oh boy, I made it. I survived.
Yep.
Most definitely. I've had days like that, so
Yeah.
Ask
Yeah.
me almost every day.
That's what I was fixing to say. Yeah, that's an everyday occurrence.
You do, going back to the voice acting, you do play Julian Loki. Blue Lock is sort of coming back. I know they're doing the Nagi story. Have you heard about season two potential at all from Blue Lock?
I'm pretty sure they announced season two when they announced the movie.
Did
For
they?
Japan, at least. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Pretty
I hope
100%
so,
sure.
because I know they were doing that movie, and I was like, man, they need to get to season two out.
Yeah, I feel like season two in a movie to hold you over to season two is like a standard, because Spy Family did the same thing with like, hey, season two, but also a movie. I think Blue Lock also did season two, but also a movie before that. So yeah,
That's
I'm pretty sure season
that's
two will
becoming
happen.
a standard. I think Demon Slayer sort of made that precedent for everybody. Like, oh, let's put a movie in to help you get to the next season. Or right
Yeah.
before, or right after it,
Yeah.
like,
Although
ugh.
Demon Slayer is interesting because their movies are literally just the entire season, but more summarized for a couple. So you basically get a SparkNotes version of what the whole season is going to be, then you rewatch it then, but with more stuff. So it's
That's
hilarious.
what. Yeah, because when I first started watching Demon Slayer, I watched the entire first season of it, which was like almost 20 something episodes long, and then I was like, why do they have a 7 episode season? Because it was the Mugen Train arc. It's like, oh, it was a movie before it became a season. Oh, okay, that makes sense. Well, let me go back and watch the movie. So I went and I actually watched the movie first before I even
Yeah.
watched the season. And
Perfect.
I'm like, wow, they added some stuff in the series. They added some stuff in the 7 episodes they didn't have in the movie. But then again, they kind of took away some stuff. Like, so I guess it was more of like an all around, like, I guess trying to make sure that everybody got everything from the manga that they could into the season. Maybe some stuff that was left out or whatever, you know. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to season 4 of Demon Slayer right now. It's every day my daughter will say, like, Daddy, can we watch Demon Slayer? We sure can, baby. Come on, let's watch it, you know. She wants to dress up as Nezuko and go to a convention so bad, it's crazy.
Oh. Yeah, it works out pretty well. It's nice.
Is.
Yeah,
It is.
yeah.
I'm glad my kids got into it though. My son's, I think, on season the end of season 2 of Hunter x Hunter right now, so that's what he's
Oh.
watching. So, you know.
That is some good art. Art.
Yes.
Oh. Oh, man.
Oh, my back.
Oh.
So, you know, I asked this question to a lot of voice actors that we get to talk to. And it's like you have all these voices that you do. Some you're a main character, some you're kind of a side character. And you're not really supposed to say what your favorite character is, but of the voices that you have done, what is kind of that one that you enjoy the most? You know, it's like you get to do a little something different with your voice or whatnot that's really cool, and you're like, I really like that one.
First off, I have no rule about favorite characters, so you can say my favorite character. I don't care. No one's gonna stop me. But I say that, but I'm also going to say it's really hard to choose a specific favorite because there are certain aspects of some characters that are really unique to that character only, and I can only do it there. Like, for example, Naoya from season from Girlfriend Girlfriend, which had 2 seasons on that one. That was my first time being the lead character of a show, so I had a lot of learning experience going through that one. I recorded season one entirely in this booth, and season two I did in the studio at Crunchyroll. And it's a very, if you, those who haven't seen it, it's a very slapstick comedy, perverted show, back and forth. And I was noticing during my recording that the other actors, mainly like Brittany Lotter, who played the lead, the titular girlfriend number one of Girlfriend Girlfriend, she was doing a whole lot of ad-libbing on the script, adding in her own words and other funny phrases in there. And I'm like, wow, this is really great. I'm like, I didn't know I could do that. So halfway through season one, I'm thinking, all right, now I gotta figure out what funny stuff I can do. But then I realize, oh no, wait. Now he's an idiot. He's not gonna say witty, funny things. So I have to find times for him to say something that's in character for him to say, but have it be so stupid and out of pocket, it fits the scene, but is still funny. Like, I couldn't ad lib as much for Naoya, but when season two came around, since I was used to it by then, since I started doing it in season one, I was way more into just throwing stuff in there. Like, there's a scene where like Naoya's like bet and like oh, or other things where he like screams at one of the characters' dads, and he's like, you don't understand, your daughter is creating thirst traps on a pro level, and he's like doing all sorts of stupid. Like, there's all
Nice.
sorts of stuff. So now you're certainly one that I had a whole lot of fun because he did the most. I was able to do the most ad-libbing with Nalia. I'd say other characters that I had a lot of fun with in Haikyuu. I play Shinsuke Kida in Haikyuu. I don't think he's around very long. He's like in season four of Haikyuu, but he was a character that is just so good because I was reading up on him on the wiki once I booked him before I went into the session, and I'm like, dang, just like me for real, wait a second, hold on. So I was like reading this and just his whole like conversations and like thought processes about talent versus not talent and hard work versus talent and whatnot just really like hit me, especially being in the field as an actor. So when I got in that booth, like recording characters like Kita and Haikyuu and like Rain and Beast Tamer. Dude, I wasn't even acting at that point. That's just me in the booth just having a therapy session, bro. Just the words are just the guide through the therapy. And it was just really fun just to let those characters come out of me that way. So I'd say like of my favorite characters, like those are some top ones that just really, really hit home on there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And now you also play Zeus in the later arcs of One Piece. What was the feeling like when you got that role? Because I mean, One Piece is like one of, if not the biggest anime that's out there, and then you get to do a voice on that show. Like how are you feeling at that point?
So it was funny because the director at the time, Anthony Bowling, once again, it was something that happened in this booth where I just had a session. Hey, we need you for some One Piece. Didn't specify what it was for. Just I think maybe just knew what episode or blah blah blah. So I came in, did some extras in the show, and then the director's like, "We'll have you play Zeus." And I'm like, "Zeus, like the god Zeus? What?" And he, "Oh, it's a little storm cloud here." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, sure, yeah, I'll do this." And I just thought he was just like another extra who just happened to have a name for an episode and whatnot. So I came on, did my first lines, went back, and I was walking upstairs to my room, and I was talking to my roommate, Ben Balmaceda at the time, and I was just like, "Yeah, I guess I played some dude in some little cloud named Zeus." And he was like on his computer typing, and he just stops right there. He's like, "What did you say? Zeus? Zeus basically joins the Thrones, Kevin. You understand?" I'm like, "He what? Huh?" And I'm like going to the wiki. I'm like, "Oh shoot, what?"
Oh, that's
So
awesome.
It's good that your it's good that one of your homeboys is like, yo, I'm hyped for you, man. Let's do this.
Yeah, I didn't
I'm ready to
know
see
because
this, you
I
know?
don't read the manga. I only consume One Piece from watching the dub because there's just too many episodes for me to like be sitting there watching that weekly reading the manga. So I like to put on the dub every 12 episode batch they come out and like just chill, watch, or just like, I don't know, fold laundry, something like that while I'm watching because I wanna I don't wanna, lose my 20 hours of my day to catch up with the One Piece. I'm gonna be productive while I'm doing it.
I
definitely understand
Yes,
that.
absolutely. Yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm
I
doing.
feel sorry for anybody who tries to like get into One Piece now and start from the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh, my
Yeah.
other roommate, they started watching it with their sister from the beginning. So they are like episode 700-ish right now.
Way more than I'm at right now, to be honest with you.
More dedication than I could put into a show.
Yeah, they said, I can't remember who, I can't remember who said it, but they said if you watch one, let me, you're not going to watch just one episode of an anime, especially if you're if you like it and you're into it. But if you watch just one episode of One Piece every day, it would take you almost 4 years to watch all the
Oh no.
episodes.
When I watch it, it's a minimum of 10 episodes at in a
Yes.
sitting. Minimum.
Yes.
I can't even do 10 episodes of One Piece. I think I get five. I think I get five in, and I'm like, man,
Think about
that's.
it this way. You have your OP for like 2, 3 minutes, then you have another 2, 3 minutes of recap. That's 5 minutes you can just skip right off the bat. Then there's 3 minutes, 4 minutes of possibly OP, and next time a One Piece at the end of it. So you're looking at about a 15-minute episode, really.
Yeah, but I'm like, man, do I need that? Can I dedicate just to sit down and watch
That's when
recap
you start organize, you fold
after
clothes, you laundry, you organize a
recap?
room. You do that. You
Yeah.
don't just sit there and only watch One Piece. You do other things at the same time, bro. You're
Right.
being productive.
I think that
Right.
might be the secret. It's just be
That's gotta
distracted.
be. Yeah.
I'm distracted, just like, I don't know, just not feel like I'm not doing anything. Which One Piece, watching One Piece is great, but like there's so many flashbacks, so many this, so many that. Like I'll be folding clothes and I'll be like, oh, Luffy's screaming, let me look what he's doing. All right, cool. Like I'm listening to it. Because I
Right.
like
It's
the dub.
like
now.
we're folding laundry, watching JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. What happened?
Oh yeah. Oh,
I
can't
missed
do that, JoJo's not. Yeah, you gotta look at JoJo.
it. Yeah, you gotta
Yeah.
watch
Yeah, you got yeah.
JoJo.
Yeah.
JoJo's awesome. JoJo's awesome.
So Netflix recently did the live action version of One Piece. Have you had the chance to watch that?
I've seen like the first episode or two of it. I actually do need to go back. I got sidetracked and watched all of the Avatar live action, so I need to go back and watch the One Piece one.
So for the little bit that you have watched, what do you think of the live action? Do you think they did it justice or
Yeah, I think it's really fun. It's a nice like consumable way to watch One Piece. The way you can bring your parents or people who aren't really into like watching anime to sit down and catch it because it's live action. So I think it's a great like gateway into it. In case, oh, you really like this? Well, hey, just watch the cartoon it's based on. Probably a lot of people will do.
Now, do you hope that they bring in Zeus, like they continue the live action and they bring in Zeus? And if they do, who do you think would be a good actor to play Zeus?
It'll still be voiceover for the most part, right?
Yes,
It'd be
but
voiceover, but
right.
it's probably gonna be, a random Hollywood guy like, all right,
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves on Zeus, something random like
Oof. Oof. I
that.
mean, he is playing Shadow
Yeah,
for Sonic Three,
exactly.
so I
He is
mean,
playing Shadow,
hey.
yes.
Yeah. But also Zeus is so far into One Piece's arcs that he if they even get that far, that's not for several years, like down 5 years or something down the road before
Yeah.
we
It's
get
like
far enough.
season like 11 or 12 or something like that, like way farther down the
Yeah.
line.
He's
Yeah.
Wade, yeah.
I'd be certainly interested to see like what they do if they keep him sounding goofy or not, because I think they're playing it kind of straight. I haven't really heard people do the super goofy stuff. Like they're not doing the laughs, right? In the live action? The laughs aren't part of that?
They
The play.
are a little bit. I don't think in the first episode they really play up on it, but I know later on Luffy is more not clownish like he is, but he is a little bit more goofy.
Yeah, because there's the how each character in the show, or not each character, but a lot of characters have their own unique laugh where they just like do a vowel or consonant, something weird
Yeah,
like that. So
so.
I wonder if they're gonna do that, because that would they do something goofy like that and keep that in the live action, which I feel like they're gonna drop it, but then that might mean they might have some goofier voices or things come up later down the road.
For sure. I know Buggy was played a little bit more straight, but still was kind of goofy in his own way. Because I mean, it's a clown still, regardless.
He's funny.
You think maybe if the One Piece live action becomes like really, 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 really big, like what they're projecting it to be, do you see other animes turning into live action series as well? Like maybe I'm again throwing it out, like maybe you'll see like a, I don't know, maybe like a live action Bleach or a live action Naruto. Like, do you see something like that happening in the future if the live action One Piece becomes more successful, you think?
So many companies have dropped the bag on that. So like
Yeah.
it's
Which is
kind
why,
of
yeah.
it's kind of difficult. I feel like some of them have to be movies to try to see gauge public opinion, 'cause investing One Piece has a massive pedigree on it that I think they were able to go for just a full series, at least full season. I feel like other places would try to go for just a movie instead. But it would be, I'd watch them as long as they're not bad. Yeah, I'd watch them.
I know they're talking about doing a live action Naruto with the director of Shang-Chi. It's rumored to come out in like 2 years, but I don't know, how do you format Naruto such to like a 10 episode season like One Piece?
It's only going to be just the first arc or something, at
Mm,
best, like a
yeah.
little bit introduction. Everyone
Yeah.
hates this orphan, the show, and that's just what it is for the first couple episodes.
Yeah, for yeah,
Yeah.
oh
Oh, no.
Naruto. I mean, I thought Bleach first because I think Bleach could probably be something people would probably sink their teeth into a lot more, especially if it was live action.
They've
You know
done
what I
two
mean?
live action movies for it already
Yeah.
in Japan, but not a show yet.
Yeah.
Each, I think Bleach would be interesting. I don't know, for some reason I feel like Naruto might be easier because the ninja stuff is, in the beginning at least, is less
Easier.
flashy
Yeah.
in the beginning
Yeah.
of the show versus Bleach. You're like, all right, I have like a 20-foot tall claymore that I'm gonna be swinging around at big demons, and I'm like, how's that gonna look in live action?
Yeah.
Yeah, the
Yeah.
Japanese, the two one shots that the Japanese have done doesn't look great, but I mean, they
Low
tried. I mean,
budget. Yeah.
yeah, just an excuse.
I mean, we saw what Netflix did with Death Note and that atrocity of a movie,
That
but
was a
you
thing.
know. Yeah, that was a thing. Yep.
Yeah.
You said
That
it.
was a thing.
That was a thing. Yep.
Mean, still better than Dragon Ball Evolution.
Hey, man.
That wasn't even a thing. That was not even a thing.
It doesn't exist.
I was so disappointed.
Yeah.
I was hyped when it. I actually I worked at a video store when that came out, and I was so hyped when it came out on like home video. And I watched it and I was like, I can never get that time back.
Nope. Nope.
Yep,
Yeah.
I watched that. Just like this wasn't Dragon Ball at all. What happened? What?
It really, I don't know.
It was Dragon Ball in name only.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? They had Piccolo.
They had a green man. They had Martian Manhunter that
Had
hung
a
on you.
Martian Manhunter. Hell, me, Mar hell, you might as well put Marvin the Martian on that thing, and it probably would have made
Honestly,
this as much sense.
it
Yeah.
was. But yeah, we
Oof.
don't. That doesn't exist, so it doesn't. We don't talk about
Yeah.
it.
Like Bruno, we don't talk about it.
Speaking of Dragon Ball, there's a new Dragon Ball series coming out. What do you think about that? I mean, do you?
Are you a Dragon Ball guy?
Heck yeah, I'm a Dragon Ball guy. I
Okay.
rewatched Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball GT. I've rewatched it so many times. Obviously, Super as well. I lived my entire like middle school, high school life on Budokai Tenkaichi 3. So it's like, come on, dude. Sparkling Zero coming out? I'm
I'm gonna
hyped.
say with Sparking Zero coming
Yeah.
out. Yeah.
So I'm certainly looking forward to that. During the time Super was airing, was really cool. That was like Super airing. Super started airing like before I moved to Texas and started finishing right around the time I was in Texas already. So now that I'm more established at this point, I would totally love to do some extras in Dragon Ball at some point. Still haven't done worked on the anime. I've worked on like I did extras in Kakarot, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, the Bardock DLC, and that was super fun. They had a Clifford Chapin directing that one. And it's like, all right, so you're a
Ooh.
Freezer soldier, and I need you to do your key charge thing. Go. And we didn't. He's like, you've done this before, haven't you? And I'm like, maybe. He's like, don't worry, I'm gonna do it. I'm like, okay.
We all done it.
We've all done it.
Yeah. We've all tried to go Super Saiyan at least once in our lives.
What are you talking about? I tried to go Super Saiyan this weekend.
I was jacked up on Monster. I'm surprised my head wasn't glowing. Shit.
You would have grew hair at that point.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So with the passing of Toriyama-san, how do you think the new director is going to take over with Dragon Ball? Obviously, we hope that he keeps
Essence. Yeah.
the essence of what Toriyama has in mind.
So I haven't looked into specifics and how this all works in general, but I know, like, I don't believe Toriyama was actually just was really directing anything when it came to that. I think it was just they have their own director, and Toriyama was overseeing it. Just, hey, making sure it's on point. I think those people who have been working on Dragon Ball so many decades at this point, they know what's up. They know how to keep things correct. My only thing is, like, how far did Toriyama actually write, into the story? Or is there gonna we get to a point where, like, it's halfway done and they have somebody else has to start finishing the writing of the story there? That's when it might get weird. So I am not worried at all about them, like, not honoring what he's done, not keeping it, as it should be. It's just when they run out of material, hey, what's gonna happen there? Is was it was anything that was anything he was working on just complete at that point? Because if it is, then we're just good. Then we'll get a true ending and just leave Dragon Ball alone, after that point. At best, we'll just get new video games, but no canon, I guess, or stories are going to be added to it.
Because like if he wasn't complete, like if he didn't complete it, or he, because anytime you, because then you have to come in and you have to basically finish his vision, but you can't see his vision, so how do you know what it would have been? So that's going to be something difficult. And who's to say that the vision that he originally had, would live up to what we do at this point? That's a, I don't know, man. That's a hard thing to try to, because if
It
it goes bad, they're not going to blame Toriyama. They're going to blame you because you're the one that messed it up. But it's like, we didn't know his vision, so what were we supposed to do? You could end it on a cliffhanger, then have forever fan fiction forever and a day. But then, even then, it doesn't feel complete.
It's
You know
not
what I
good,
mean?
yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, I mean, super tightly canon on the cliffhanger because it's set before the Peace arc of the final part of Dragon Ball Z, where they do the final tournament. So if you can find a way to connect it to that last little bit of Dragon Ball Z, some way, somehow, hopefully. I don't want them to drop the ball on that part.
You
But
never know.
who, this is the big question, who is your favorite Dragon Ball villain?
Favorite Dragon Ball villain?
Yes.
Because all three of us
Ooh.
have different ones, so.
All right. I am pretty sure this one I'm just scouting really quick just to make sure I'm not forgetting anybody, but I have one that comes to mind immediately all the time, and that's gonna be Cooler.
Ooh, that's a
Okay.
different one.
Love me some
Yeah, it's
Cooler.
different.
He's
I respect that because most people just go straight for Frieza, so
Now
it's cool to have.
I'm basic. Like, he's already like Frieza, but then his Cooler 100% with the little visor, and they're like, oh dang, he's a Power Ranger. Holy shit, that's the best one. That's the best one.
That's why you like him, because he looks like a Power Ranger. That's the main reason.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So, your love of Power Rangers, who is like what? How much of Power Rangers have you watched, or were you just Mighty Morphin Kid, or what is your experience with Power Rangers?
Man, what season did I stop at? I watched from Mighty Morphing all the way. The last one, the one I stopped till, like, I didn't complete it, was Samurai, is where I fell off.
It's like my
So that's a
second,
good,
it's my second
what,
favorite
20, 30?
series. Yeah, that's 26, I think.
26, something
26
like that.
seasons, yeah.
I stayed on for quite a while. Like, every now and then I was like, man, maybe I need to go back and give another chance. Maybe just sit down and just re we'll start from Samurai and just go and catch up to the current series and see what's going on with that.
I always recommend that. Samurai, like I said, Samurai's probably my Second favorite series or season of Power Rangers.
I'm very interested to see where Power Rangers goes moving forward, since they don't have the contract to use the Super Sentai footage. It's all original moving forward.
Ill about that. Like, it's cool that they can do their own thing, but also I like them still like adapting the stuff that Super Sentai did. They did really cool creative things, and when it was closer to what the Japanese did, it was always really nice to see the side by side of things versus not. Like, it was still cool when they went off of it, but being side by side was really interesting too.
So go ahead.
I was going to say, which was your favorite season of Power Rangers that you watched?
That one is super
That
duper tough.
is a hard one.
In the categories, if I'm ranking them, any series in which they have actual powers outside of being morphs automatically puts them on the top of the list, in terms of shuffling. So like, Ninja Storm, Dino Thunder, SPD, Operation Overdrive, stuff like that. We're like, okay, you guys can actually do things. You don't really need to morph, but you know, you have it for the extra boost. And then I'd say like I don't know, because I have categories in mind. I've that's that category there, and then like Zords specifically. Wild Force de facto had the best Zords in the entire series, in my opinion. I don't think we've come close to Wild Force in terms of just Zord design, Zord usage, and all that. Dino Thunder is a close second, in my opinion, when it comes to Zords, and Ninja Storm under that, because their use of auxiliary Zords and just the CG they had on the Zords were honestly way more fluid than things I've seen, where it's just like, oh, here's our Hasbro approved toy. It's got a moving jaw. All right, it's flying. Like, you know, it doesn't do anything. Yeah, versus, you know, Wild Force. I have a whole lion that's moving around, biting things, doing stuff. It's CG animated, and the toy is that same lion, but it can, you know, morph and turn into the Megazord. So it's just cooler to me, in my opinion.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you the controversial question. What is your least favorite Power Ranger? As
Ooh.
far as like series of, and again, I'm not saying the one that you
Yeah.
hate or anything like that. I'm just saying like maybe the one that just you didn't care for as much as the others.
Turbo.
Dang, that is really hard. Because my first thought is specifically Samurai, just because that's the one I stopped at. It didn't hold me enough to stay on there, so I'd probably say Samurai. But if I think of others that I just watched, I'm just like, eh, this is kind of, I whatever. Would be like a little bit of Jungle Fury, a little bit of RPM. Although I gotta give RPM credit where it's due, because that was definitely the funniest season I have ever watched. I laughed so hard watching RPM. Even though most of the stuff in there was like, eh, it's whatever. Their jokes were really good. Whoever's writing them, they were writing fire every time.
So it was better on comedy than it was on action, basically.
Yeah, on story action, it was just the comedy just was so good. Everything else, I'm like, this is kind of whatever. The other show did these better, but they kept me with the comedy. They really did.
All right.
Yeah. So that's the one I vividly remember being like, this is kind of meh, but comedy kept me. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm looking at. And I guess going back to like, if I were to shot in the ball, like my favorite one, I'd probably just jump to saying that Wild Force would probably be just the favorite, just because the Zords were so good. It was just entertaining all throughout every episode. Like, everything was cool. I was like, all right, what new Zord are we gonna get this episode? It's gonna be so cool. You know, what new thing are we gonna get? Blah blah blah. It was just super great.
Awesome.
Oh no, that's great. Now the big question is your
Here we go.
favorite Ranger.
Favorite Ranger.
That's
All right.
the hard one.
I am going to have to roll with let me see. SPD Jack, SPD Red. Like, that's, yeah, he's definitely my favorite Ranger, just because of the whole character arc they gave for him from the beginning. Oh, he was a thief stealing, became the Red Ranger, learned, they had him grow so much throughout, getting the trust of everybody, and at the end he's like, all right, I've done my community service. Here, have the morpher back. I'm gonna go do my own thing. And like, I'm like, what a real move. What a cool character concept.
He's like,
Really cool.
I didn't accept it. I didn't want the job, but I accepted it and
Yeah.
it changed me to a better person. Now it's time for you guys to go ahead
Yeah.
and move on.
go do your thing. Like,
Yep.
yeah, so
Yeah.
such a cool ending. I remember I met the actor who played Jack at like a con when I was like, oh, high school or something like that. And I met him at a con, talked to him a little bit, got his autograph. And I am not a person who normally does autographs or gets signatures myself when I go to conventions, so that was super out of character for me. But after I was done talking to him, I was so hyped. I called my girlfriend at the time, like, you don't understand, the Red Ranger, and I was just screaming at the phone, like.
No, that's definitely one of the ones I am still waiting on to meet at a convention and get a signature from myself. Because yeah, he's probably my favorite Red Ranger out of all of them too, which is kind of hard to say because the Red Ranger is the Red Ranger. I mean,
It's a tough billing. Like, there are a lot of really good ones, but I don't know, something about him, he was
it's
real
so
cool with it, real
cool.
smooth. Yeah, and like,
Yeah.
and then again, it showed that he made mistakes. He was a flawed character. They showed him like being immature, but he grew as the story
Yep.
grew. So like,
Yeah.
oh,
And
such good writing.
he grew and his leadership reflected the team because when he wasn't the true leader, they were sloppy, immature, and everything. But as he progressed, they progressed. And that moment when him and Sky, oof.
Yeah,
Ah.
I really love in SBD. I think they did it in the Sentai as well. Is it the Deca Rangers? Is it called the Sentai? But I can't remember what episode it was. But when they have their morphers, which are the judgment devices that tells you if guilty or wrong, and they
Yep.
like have a guy like, "Hi, we got you. Now we're gonna put you in prison." Huh? Not guilty. What the heck? And like, I'm
Yep.
like, that's a cool thing. And it's like, hey, you guys make mistakes. You guys aren't right all the time. Like,
Yep.
that's
Yeah.
it.
Yeah, it's such a that was such a
Interesting
weird,
topics.
not weird, but it was such a good angle to do because yeah, I think that's what SPD is really set apart because all of them are flawed and they actually show their flaws. And that's the great thing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times they only show one or two people in the Rangers having a flaw, but usually the Red Ranger is always the perfect
Generally the
one.
perfect, yeah.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
think in that kind of era of Power Rangers, in the SPD, Dino Thunder, Ninja Storm, and like Mystic Force era, they did a really good job of making the Rangers all kind of just bad in the beginning and
Yep.
get better and better. Like,
Yeah.
not so bad, but like, I hate these guys, but like, they make mistakes a lot,
Right.
and but they learn from them, which I think is really great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that even goes all the way back to Mighty Morphin in a sense, because like everyone looked at no, shoot, I'm forgetting the name. It wasn't Rocky. Who was the first Red Ranger? I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I can't. Jason, thank you, thank you. I don't know why I couldn't think of it. But yeah, Jason was the first Red Ranger, and when everyone was like, okay, this is the guy, this is the leader, and this is the one who like, okay, this is the focal point. But then here comes Tommy Oliver, and then all the focal point goes to Jason David Frank, and that character was like, okay, so is he the one now? Because remember, they had that 5-episode story arc of the Green Ranger story where he just pops up into after they're in the Zord, and he's just kicking everybody's ass
Just
at him.
beating
I'm
everybody up.
like, dude, that's my dude right there, you know. And then he ends up becoming the White Ranger later, and then that whole thing, and they did the movie and everything. Yeah, that was cool. Like, I think I'm not as My knowledge of Power Rangers is not as extensive as Roger's, unfortunately, or Chip's for that matter. I stopped watching after Zeo. I think it was the last one. And that was like season three
Oof.
or something like
Yeah,
that.
it's because Turbo
Something
was
like that.
bad. I didn't like
Yeah.
Turbo.
Yeah.
I think that's what turned me off of Power Rangers was Turbo. I think
You
I was like, just stop
didn't like
watching after
you
that.
didn't like the 7-year-old Power Ranger?
No, I
Just
didn't.
grew like
I
3 feet.
did
As
not.
a kid, as a what 9-year-old kid or whatever old I was watching, I thought that was pretty cool. But oh my god, just like me, not, yeah, we could be a Power Ranger too, sure. But
And then he
I get how
grows
weird
up,
that
and
was.
then he morphs into a 6-foot
Yeah, dude,
frame.
a full
Yeah.
grown man. I'm like, that's weird,
Like
but
I like I I
okay.
under like I understand this is make believe, but that's not realistic, you know?
Yeah,
Like,
like
never mind
what's
the fact there's
the
giant freaking mechs, you know, battling each other, battling these big monsters and stuff, and we got these powers and stuff, but
there's
I
a
don't know,
little
that
bit
just
of
made me, you
suspension
know?
of disbelief, like, hey,
Yeah.
what's weirder, him growing a couple feet or Kruger's giant dog head fitting in that tiny mask?
Hey, that's when he morphed, he was able to switch into
Right.
the tomato tomato, in my opinion, on
Yeah.
that.
Oh, Kruger, that's a true leader right there.
Kruger.
That's
There you go. There you
the
go.
mentor.
I
You
love
could
Kruger.
when he when they finally do the episode where he actually shows what he can do, I'm like,
Yeah.
Why don't you just take him on every mission? Like,
Right? He's that dude. He's that
yeah,
dude.
he was him. Like, it was, oh my
They
gosh,
gave him
no.
like Anubis Doggy Kruger. They gave him the coolest name, the coolest
Yeah.
things. Like, where's my wife? The cool man, he's so They were cooking. They were cooking.
Yes, they
Yeah.
were. SPD
Yeah.
was SPD set such a high standard, man.
SPD was great. I had like bias toward SPD too because like my dad is in law enforcement too, so like I would be like, oh wow, they're just like my dad and stuff like that. My dad would come home with his SWAT gear and everything. Just to, they have a SWAT mode too. Oh my God, you
Yeah, but
know.
no, I mean, that season just did so many things differently to set itself apart and made it work so well. 'Cause I mean, having Alpha Team come back as
Evil
like,
and stuff,
yes, I was just like,
yeah.
what? Like,
Yeah, it was really good. And I think they're were they the first? Yeah, they're also the first season that introduced, I believe, the whole everyone gets a power up before Red Ranger gets Battleizer thing. Yeah, and that was also cool. So the SWAT mode, and they got Super Dynamo and all that stuff, and yeah.
Yeah, it was so good. And there, I mean, the Zord was pretty cool too. The actual vehicles turning
Oh yeah,
into
the whole base
with,
turning into the another Megazord. I'm like, yo,
yep. Oh
it was
man.
so dope.
How many
So.
episodes are in SPD? How many episodes is that like?
I would assume like maybe 20 something,
I would
maybe.
say it's a midline season, so I think 26, maybe 30.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, because I'm gonna go through, I'm gonna find it, I'm gonna watch it.
It's all on
It's
YouTube for
so
free.
it's yeah, it's all on
Really?
YouTube.
All on YouTube for
Yeah,
free.
every
Oh
season of
yeah.
Power Rangers is on YouTube for free. That's where I watch it.
Oh, it's they
All right. Well, I'm gonna
great.
have to.
Everything. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's an official like Power Rangers YouTube channel, and they literally have every
Every
season on
season.
there.
Yeah,
And you,
their playlists are each season.
how? Okay. Dumb question here. Please forgive me for not knowing. But how can they get away with doing that? Like, do certain companies not own the rights to the Power Rangers or
Not
something like
the old
that?
ones anymore. So Bond doesn't
Okay.
have the rights for it anymore.
Okay. So how deep? So how far back does it go then?
So
All the way
Bond
to the
had it from the
beginning?
first one.
No, okay. There's Mighty Morphin, and then it goes to
Mighty
the
Morphin,
current.
Zeo, Turbo. It doesn't go to the current
Yeah, the
Cosmic
new ones.
Fury and Dino Fury or the Netflix ones. So
Yeah.
the last four seasons are on Netflix,
They
and
are.
the movie.
Okay. All right.
Or
They're
the
also on
reunion
Nickelodeon.
movie. Yeah.
I'm
Yeah,
looking
well,
it up right now.
Nickelodeon owns some of them and Disney owns some of them, but YouTube has it all in one place for you for
Yeah,
free.
man.
Yes. I
Awesome.
love
Had
it.
like the Jungle Fury era around that point.
Yeah, Disney, I think Disney took over at that was the first one.
2001.
Yeah.
But I
Yeah,
don't think
two
Disney had it very long.
four seasons, I think.
Yeah, not
Yeah.
super long.
It says here Walt Disney Company 2001 to 2010.
Played a long time
They had it for 9
then. Okay.
years. Yeah.
Okay, that's longer than I had thought
Was
it was.
yeah.
It was Disney that, I mean, not Nickelodeon that had the short era then.
Let's
Yeah.
see, it goes Saban Entertainment was from 93 to 2001, Disney from 2001 to 2010,
Tim.
Saban Brands
Mark
from
McAfee again.
2010 to 2018, and then 2018 to present as Hasbro.
Yeah, I forget
Maybe
Hasbro.
Hasbro chose to have on or Nickelodeon or whatever deals they worked out. That'd be
Yeah,
interesting.
because Saban Entertainment and Hasbro let Nickelodeon have some, but I don't remember which ones for sure.
Yeah.
But no, so have you gone to any Power Rangers specific cons?
Oh, I have not gone to any Power Rangers specific cons. Like, I don't know. I haven't really. That's a good question. I really should. I'll totally cosplay.
Because I mean, Texas has Mighty Morphin Con.
Do they? Which part of
Yeah.
Texas? Oh my God.
Austin, I think.
Austin, yeah, Austin. I think it's the same week South by South. No. It's a week after or a week before South by
Yeah, I was
Southwest,
gonna
I
say they don't
think.
run the same.
Yeah, they don't
Yeah.
run the same week as South by Southwest.
I might think about that. Maybe do a road trip to Austin. We'll have to see. But because yeah, it's like 4 hours away from me, but it's not far enough that I can't go. But
Right, exactly.
yeah,
Yeah.
that's something I've thought about going to a con, doing like a little casual cosplay for I am forgetting the name of the character, but Dino Thunder, the Blue Ranger in that one. Yeah, but Triceratops. So I bought like one of the morphers before the morpher activist, the Gino Gem with the bracelet. I got one of
Yes.
those. It's really cool. And I'm like,
Ethan
I could do
James.
Ethan. There it is.
Ethan,
Okay.
yes.
Ethan.
Jeez. I wanted to say Eli, but I was like, I know it's not
Yeah.
that, but
I remember the actor's name because the actor's name is also Kevin, so it's like
Hey, there you go. See, it was set
Kevin
up for
Dunhaney. Yeah.
you. Yeah, he's really cool. I follow him on Twitter, and his tweets are really nice. He's really talk like interacts with the community a lot, and he's really dope. He spits a
Well, I
lot of
mean,
facts.
if you're gonna go to a con, cosplay as Power Ranger, let me know. You know what I'm saying? I'll go with you.
Yeah,
You
bro.
know, I love me some Power Rangers all day, every day.
Yeah,
Heck yeah,
we're
dude.
actually in June of this year. There's one in Atlanta, which is about 2 hours from us. It's called Ranger Stop. And so
And
we're gonna do that.
that one's
Yeah.
actually ran by the actresses of Aisha and Tanya from Mighty Morphin.
By them. Oh.
Yes.
And it's super cool. We went there last year. It was super fun. I actually have a shirt of the original Mighty Morphins, and all I need is Austin St. John and
And he's
Amy
going to
Jo
be there this
Johnson.
year. Yeah.
Yep, and then Amy Jo Johnson, I'll have the original lineup. I even got JDF before he passed away. So I will have every single Mighty Morphin Ranger signature on a shirt. I'm gonna frame it.
There you
Speaking
go.
about that too, another thing, if you haven't already checked it out, you should watch the first couple of episodes of Go Go Loser Ranger.
Yep.
We were just talking
Yep.
about that this weekend.
Yeah. We since we had that con this weekend, I wasn't able to watch it, and that's my number one. I'm actually gonna probably watch it after this.
I need to watch episode two. I've only seen the first episode, but first, well, so far I'm seeing like, oh, this looks like it's gonna be fun.
I still got to catch up on Delicious and Dungeon and Solo Leveling too.
Well,
So
solo level's done, so
Solo Leveling is done, but I still haven't watched the last episode yet, so I still need to watch that. Yeah.
lots to go
So
through.
are you going to try an audition for Go Go Loser Rangers if you get
I
the
would love to be in that. Whether or not
opportunity?
the forces that be, let me in it, that's just depending on them. But hey, love this stuff so much, and it's not often that we get a show that, focuses on it so much.
Yep.
There's another show
Yes.
that I was in, Miss Kuroitsu's, I cannot remember the full name, but it's got one of those sentence long names. And that show was just one big Super Sentai parody where it's like from the point of view of the villains and they're making monsters for the good guys to fight. And I played one of the basically the ranger adjacent characters in that show. And it was like I did a lot of extras and it was really fun to do all the call outs and the yells and a good time. And I've done like several other shows where there'll be like people in Japan going to like a big Super Sentai show stage play, and I'll just be playing one of the Rangers. So anytime I go into the booth for extras and it's one of those episodes, I'm like, let's go.
Yes.
W.
I am in my wheelhouse. Yes.
Yes.
It's like I play every ranger if you need me to,
Yeah, everyone, I'll play them all. I don't care the color, red, green, blue, purple.
Let's
You can make a
go.
magenta. I don't care.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Whew.
So have you ever gotten to actually like work with like Johnny Young Bosch since he is a Power Ranger but also a voice actor?
I've done a lot of scenes in shows where I've played like extras and stuff like that where Johnny has been. I've like shared plenty of scenes with Johnny. I've not actually like interacted with him or not, but I've definitely acted in a lot of scenes that he's been in. So that's definitely cool.
That's awesome. That's
Awesome,
awesome.
dude. Awesome.
We won't keep you too long. We know you got a lot to do, probably got some work to do. What's actually next for Kevin? What do you got coming up that you can talk about? I know there's probably some stuff you can't.
NDA, brother, NDA.
Yeah, without saying any, breaking any NDAs, probably the easiest thing to talk about would be I was just in a show. I play a small character in speaking of Toriyama, Sandland, Toriyama's, one of his last
Yes.
projects there.
Yes.
The anime dub came out like almost a week ago now, and I'm in that playing various characters. You'll hear me doing my Zeus voice for a ghost character on that, on top of other dudes. And also the game for that is coming out, I believe, in a, what, couple days or a week or so. So
Yeah.
yeah, so that's something to watch the anime, check out the game. Look, the gameplay looks really cool actually, so it'll
Yes,
be
it does.
nice to check that out. And the fact that like I haven't really touched many of Toriyama's properties, but I got to the fact that I got to do a little bit of a Kakarot Dragon Ball, and I got to be in Sand, one of his last projects before he passed. I feel very blessed that I was able to at least touch some of his works before.
That's
That's
awesome,
awesome.
man. That's
That's
awesome.
amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah. If anybody wanted to follow you on social media, where would you send them?
Yeah, so you can go ahead and check out my Twitter account. It is Kevin D. Thelwell at Kevin D. Thelwell. Same goes for my Instagram as well. I have a separate Twitter account for streaming, but if I stream on that, I'll usually just like quote retweet myself on the main account so people can catch that. So yeah, I like to have a little fun on the side. Got more time, so I'll just go ahead and enjoy myself.
Awesome,
That's
man.
awesome. Well, man, I really, really want to thank you for joining us tonight. It's been an honor to pick your brain and everything. Chat some Power Rangers with you. That's super
Yeah.
cool. So thank you for joining us. It really does mean a lot to us.
Rob, good talking.
All right, man, appreciate it. Hey, if you could just hang out for just one more quick second while we pay a couple of bills, just want to say thank you to everybody for tuning in tonight to watch this. We definitely do appreciate Kevin coming on and joining and hanging out with us tonight. Like always, thank you guys for joining us. Chip, Roger, anything you guys want to say before we get out of here this evening?
Please do not leave without leaving a like, comment, share, and subscribe on Spotify and right here on YouTube.
What you guys say, Raj?
As always, like you said, just keep following us, keep giving us support. Thank you for everything. Because of you fans, we get great opportunities like this where we get to interview people we're fans of. So, and also get to learn about other Power Ranger fans out there that I love to meet. So,
Exactly. And if you do want to continue to support Movement Radio, if you just hearing this for the first time and would like to support Movement Radio, check out streamlabs.com/movementradio/merch and go copy some merch. Again, thank you guys for all the subs. Thank you guys for all the likes and all the follows and all of our social media platforms. And once again, Kevin, thank you for joining us tonight. We really do appreciate it. Thank you guys for watching. We love you guys. And until next time, I'm Talon Williams.
I'm Chip Hazard.
And I'm Roger Sierra.
And this is Movement Radio.